you.
So we welcome Paul Jass to come and speak God's word to us. Can I pray for you?
Please do.
So loving Lord Jesus, we thank you for your anointing on Paul. Thank you for the preparation he's done. Thank you for the word you want to speak to each one of us today. So take Paul's words and by the power of your spirit, bring them to life for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you for that. You know, we could just finish there and go home. Beautifully read and well explained. But being Palm Sunday, we look at 2024 and know that this is going to be the most interesting political year in the history of the world, in one way, because there are going to be big elections coming up in the UK. Is it going to be Rishi Sunak or Keir Starmer? And then suddenly we look across the pond. Is this going to be Trump again, or is it going to be Biden? And then Russia's already done it, hasn't it? Landslide victory for Putin. There you go. And then the other big democracy across on the other side in India. 1.2 billion people are going to be voting. And that election is going to be taking several months to actually complete. So a whole change is taking place. But Palm Sunday was the most important political day in the history of mankind. Palm Sunday was a political day. That Holy Week is one of the most political weeks that has been and will ever be, because on Palm Sunday, Jesus rode into town and he was declared King of Kings. Somebody's waving. Can you hear me? Oh, okay, you're fine. Okay. You know, Jesus rides into town and it is a political day. What is happening in Jerusalem? Of course, there are those counter demonstrations going on. You know, the likes we've had in London recently after October 7th. You know, there are the pro-demonstrations and the against demonstrations. And then there is, of course, all that political symbolism that is associated with Palm Sunday. And then, of course, his manifesto. And then, like any political leader, when he comes into town, what he wants you to do is join him and vote for him. So there is a call for us to respond. But there is excitement in town, in Jerusalem at the moment. There is expectation and there is death in the air. Because there, on the west side, coming into Jerusalem, is Pilate's parade coming in. The whole armor of the Roman army is parading in, full display, horsepower. Full horsepower is coming into Jerusalem from the west side. What he wants you to know is who is in control and who has authority here and who are the rulers. And there is a proclamation Pilate is making. Hail Caesar. Hail Caesar. Because they worshipped Caesar as a god. And the proclamation was that there is no other name under heaven than that of Caesar that saves mankind. That's the proclamation he was making. Very political. He wanted you to know. He wanted Jerusalem to know the power and the might of the Roman Empire. Like we see, you know, the May Day parades in Moscow and in China and in India, they're all displaying their nuclear weapons. He's doing exactly the same with his army band marching. and leading him into Jerusalem on the west side. But then on the east side, through the east gate, we see the alternative, don't we? The donkey power. There was the horse power. There's the donkey power. Jesus riding into town on a donkey. And there's a proclamation here as well. Kingdom of God is here. The alternative kingdom, alternative to the empire, is here. There is confrontation, of course. And there is the announcement, salvation for all mankind. Sanctification for all. You know, when he was washing there, when he'll be washing their feet on Thursday, yet everybody else will go into a sanctification week. He says, you don't need anything else other than me washing your feet. Sanctification. There is the announcement of it. But above all, here's a political message of Palm Sunday, the power of humility. I've read so many papers written by Harvard Business School, MIT, on the power of humility in the business office. Here was real power of humility. And then on the northeast side, the high priest is coming into town. He's been off to Bethlehem, and he's gone there to select the lamb, which is the spotless lamb, and he's got it on his shoulders and walking into town through the sheep gate on the northeast side. So west side, Pontius Pilate, on the donkey, Jesus, and on that corner, northeast side, is the high priest. And they are shouting, Hosanna for him. And then they get confused because that gate and the east gate are not too far apart. So there's confusion about Hosanna. So they were shouting for him and some were shouting for Jesus. But what we have here from the high priest is just a simple ritual. The theology of the original Passover over during Exodus has probably been got lost in translation, because this high priest setup is a compromised setup, and his message is, don't upset the Romans, don't upset the Romans, you know, be kind, no, no, don't upset the Romans. That's his message. Yet Jesus' message is very clear. It's a very political day, Palm Sunday, and you soon will be waving these, and I wonder what you're going to do with the cross for the rest of the year. Very powerful political symbol. So there was a lot of symbolism on Palm Sunday as Jesus is walking in. Of course, Hosanna is a political symbol. It's anti-Hail Caesar, anti-empire, anti all of that. Lord, please save us. We've already heard this several times this morning. It's a cry for salvation, mental salvation, material salvation. People are suffering. Social relationships are broken. And of course, spiritual salvation. Hosanna, Lord, please save us. Anti-Hail Caesar. And then, of course, that political symbol, the cloak. What's the cloak doing? I mean, you know, history tells us right through. I mean, you know, it's a cloak of power and authority when you remember the story of Elijah and Elisha. He had the cloak of power, God's anointing, God's authority. And when the cloak passed on to Elisha, it was power transferring. These people are putting their cloaks for Jesus. But Isaiah says it's a cloak of righteousness. It's a symbol for righteousness, a cloak of righteousness. And Paul tells us in Romans very well that you wear that cloak of righteousness in Jesus. He's given you a cloak of righteousness. Again, a very political symbol. But you see, interestingly enough, when in the northern kingdom, Jehu was declared king, Elisha had sent his prophet to anoint Jehu as king of the northern kingdom. They took their cloaks and laid it in his path, and here was a precedence. But Jehu was becoming a king, do you know, to get rid of what Ahab and Jezebel had done. He was the one who was going to change political, because what had the northern kingdom become was a place of sexual immorality and idolatry. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. That was the anointing. That was the cloak. And you know, we are reminded of this even in Acts 15, when Peter tells, when the Spirit came on the Gentiles, he says, no extra burden on you, but refrain from sexual immorality and idolatry. It's a challenge for our world today, isn't it? It's a very big challenge for us, that sexual immorality and idolatry. But, you know, the lovely thing about the cloak was, in the collar, there was these words written, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, a promise of the Messiah coming. Again, when you declare somebody king, when Caesar's on the throne, it's a political statement. So here's a symbol of politics in Palm Sunday. But then what about the palms? What about the palms? It's a symbol of defiance. Absolute defiance, because it's a symbol of victory. And what had happened was when the Maccabeans had won their victory of the tyrannical regime of the Syrians, they used the palm branches. So when these people in Jerusalem are waving palms, they're referencing it back to that victory of that time. And it was a victory that was won, and then is also a symbol of cleansing of the temples, because when the Maccabeans got their victory, went into the temple and cleaned it, cleansed it, remember? During Holy Week, what Jesus is going to do? Follow the same cleansing of the temple. So here's a symbol: defiance, victory, cleansing. But it's also a symbol of anti-slavery. When we wave the palm, remember anti-slavery. You know what it was that the Romans had a carving of a Jew kneeling down and palms over it, actually referencing, we are over you, we are your overlord, and you are the slave. And when the slave took up the palm and said, anti-slavery, we are free, the Romans were getting upset every time the palms were being waved. No wonder the high priest says, it's okay, don't be quiet, don't upset the Romans, kind of a thing. And then the palm was also in dreaming, a symbol when you were having dreams, a sign of sin coming to an end and the freedom to worship God is the symbol of the palm. Sin coming to an end and free to worship the Lord God Almighty. So they are waving all of this and the Romans are getting upset and the Pharisees don't like this. And then of course, the symbol of the donkey. That is a statement, the alternative to the horsepower, power of humility, power of empire, power of corporate organizations that can impose anything on you. And however we have our employment laws change to put you into slavery, it's an amazing power of alternative to the horsepower. It is anti-empire. And remember the story of Solomon. History tells us that his brother had declared himself king and taken the priests and the generals and was having a private party. But wisdom and guidance was given to Solomon, and he was told that you ride on a donkey into Jerusalem and publicly declare your kingship. So here's Jesus doing exactly that. Quietly, without the generals and without the high priest, riding in from the east, when the other side, the west, is the empire coming in. Similarly, his brother had done the same over there and having a private party, and here is Solomon publicly riding on a donkey. The power of humility. So these are universal symbols. That comes out very well in our reading, and we read them. But what are they anti? What are they standing against? Of course, the Roman Empire, but in any empire, the horsepower. They are against political and cultural and religious ideologies that today are taking hold of our world. Against brutality, to influence people, coerce people, segregation, divisions, caste systems, class systems. These symbols are against all of those, coercion. And you know, that worship of the deity of the time, exactly the same. It was against Caesar worship. He was no god. This was against the human, a kingdom that is designed by human power, the kingdom of sexual immorality and idolatry. Anti all of that. And what are the symbols for? They're the symbols for the kingdom of God, the alternative kingdom history has been waiting for, always. Not human power, not human design, but standing for true justice and exposing injustice. No to triumphant violence that we see in our society today, in our world. And incredibly, power of humility. It's a symbol to state that every human is free to live into the fullness of his or her sacred creation. We are sacredly created. These are the symbols of saying, to the fullness of that, what God has designed for us, freedom and peace. The politics of Palm Sunday. Well, of course, the politics of the gospel message is peace. Peace to all. That's a powerful political message, isn't it? When they're all having their military parades and Pilate is built on his horsepower, peace. That's the gospel message. It stands in solidarity. Palm Sunday is about, you know, already I've said, about the power of humility. But it stands in solidarity with the poor, the oppressed, the grieving, the sick and suffering, and the dispossessed. And the manifesto of this political day is, and the message of the gospel is very clear, bread on every table. That's the manifesto commitment. Healing in every home. No to evil designs against your neighbor. Justice for all. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge. That's the political message. And free to worship God. Freedom to worship God. That's a political message. It's manifesto. And this manifesto is actually calling us, isn't it? And so message for Palm Sunday is, will we join Jesus and those boldly and publicly shouting Hosanna? Will we join him in the threat of violence? Take a stand for justice and truth against the dominant ideologies that are political, cultural, and religious in our world, trying to change the gospel message? Will we take a stand for the gospel, which is under attack, not only externally, but also internally from within the church? The gospel is a political message, very clear. It's got a manifesto. So is Palm Sunday just a ritual or a reality for all of us? When Jesus had delivered his manifesto message, his political message, verse 11 tells us that he alone went into the temple and he installed himself in the temple. What had happened was, what happens is when the high priest has brought that lamb from Bethlehem, the spotless one, he goes into the temple and installs that lamb in the temple. And that and then for the next 4 days, that lamb is actually scrutinized to make sure that it is a spotless lamb, open to public. Anybody can have a look at it and say over the 4 days that it has no blemish. You know what Jesus did after having delivered this? He installed himself in the temple, and for 4 days, he was questioned, quizzed by the lawyers, by the priests, by the Pharisees, and he was found spotless on his political message. Palm Sunday is a political message for our times. Will we join Jesus in that political message? But don't fear, because when the Lord turned around and said, don't be afraid, for I will send you the Holy Spirit. He will be with you. He will give you wisdom. He will give you knowledge. He will give you understanding. And when they quiz you, and when they challenge you on the message of the gospel, don't worry what you're going to say beforehand. He will guide you. Will you join him on this Palm Sunday and the political message of Palm Sunday? What are you going to do with the cross when you go home? Do you have a time to think and reflect on Palm Sunday and what it is calling you to do? And my prayer is that, Lord, send us your Holy Spirit without limit, that he may guide us in all we do and the stand we take. In Jesus' name, amen.